Welcome to Eternal Darkness of Not So Spotless Minds podcast. There will be spoilers and swearing.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the bonus episode of the Eternal Darkness of Not So Spotless Minds podcast with me, your host Matt, and my co-host Kate. How you doing, Kate?
I am good. Yeah, I'm excited for this. It's been, well, a year since our last one. Nice bit of juicy bonus content. People who listened to our last one, you know, it's only a short episode. We just rattled through what we saw at Fright Fest and jobs are good. But it's going to be fun to sort of, after a few days of ruminating, go over what we saw on Saturday, which is, yeah, only a few days ago. So it'll be good. I'm excited.
Absolutely. What would you, before we get into the films, yeah. what would your overall, or do you want to say that at the end, actually?
Let's say it at the end.
I'll say that at the end.
Yeah, right. I know where you're going, but let's save that to the end. But
okay, no worries.
Yeah,
no worries.
For those who have not listened to the episode from last year, Fright Fest is a UK festival. It's a horror movie festival. There is one in Edinburgh, and there is one in London. And there's a couple of other ones around Halloween and shiz, but we went to one in London.
Glasgow, not Edinburgh.
Is it? Oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. I stand corrected.
That's okay.
It's a fucking four-day festival?
Yeah, it starts on the Wednesday night. They have a kind of like a horror quiz night in a club or a pub or something.
Nice.
And then the actual festival starts on the Thursday. There's only a few films on the Thursday. I think there's about, you know, two or three films on the Thursday. Mm. And yeah, of course, it goes through over the whole of the bank holiday to the Monday.
It's obviously a very kind of like full-on experience. You and I have only gone to the day.
We went on the Saturday.
Yeah, because of outside commitments and money. money for me anyway. I don't know about you. I don't want to be... laying claim on your finances, but certainly my money, I'm not able to really like spaff off several hundred pounds for a weekend at this point. But the day though is always really good, and to be honest, I don't know if I could really handle a whole fucking 4-day weekend of it.
You know what? I've thought about it, but actually, well, certainly at the pace that we go at, boozing and everything, I don't think we'd be able to manage.
Let's be honest, we don't even last a day. We never watch all of the movies. We always like have to like tap out like one or two before the end. That is, in fairness, usually due to because of travel and whatnot,
yes.
And last trains and things. Last year, I didn't watch the last one because I had to get back to a friend's, and same again this year, staying at a friend and I couldn't go to, like, also last year, if anyone did listen, I was insanely ill with flu, not COVID, just flu. I was really just like, I was falling asleep during Prisoners of the fucking Ghostland, which may affect my reception of that. I do need to rewatch that. I do need to rewatch that because everyone slated it and I had a really good time with it, but maybe it's because I was dreaming.
Hallucinating.
Yeah, hallucinating, a flu fever. Feverish dreams, and that was way more entertaining. This year I had to get back and I had to, get back at a reasonable hour because my friend just is not a night owl whatsoever. And she had the only key to let me in. And then you obviously you have to get a train outside of London
back
and stuff. So, but yeah, usually by the end though, you and I are pretty, and Rob as well, our mate who comes along. Like we're always a bit like, oh, I should probably get going.
Because
we're old. But
right.
People like Boz and stuff, who do the whole fucking weekend, like fucking fair play. Like,
that's hardcore, it really is.
It really is. But let's, that is Fright Fest basically. So,
Should
we crack on with what we saw?
So we went on the Saturday. The first film we went and saw was a film called Something in the Dirt, which is directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. Mm-hmm. Now, quite a lot of you would have heard of these two. They did several very good films, such as Resolution, Spring, The Endless.
Synchronic,
yeah, that's right. Any others that spring to mind?
They did. They've done some other stuff lately, more mainstream stuff, like they directed Loki, the Marvel series and stuff. They're even making names for themselves, like in mainstream media, as well as sort of like cult indie stuff. So, but they seem to have kind of gone back to their roots with this one.
Yeah.
And what is this one, Matt? Did you say the title?
Did I what say?
Have you said the title yet?
Yes, Something in the Dirt.
Sorry, I completely went over my head. Something in the Dirt sort of seems to kind of be taking them back to their kind of humble roots, their sort of indie type of movie and stuff. So
it was good to see that they were there and introduced the film to us all, which is pretty awesome, really.
Really fucking cool. And people want to sort of see a little video of that, have a look on the Instagram and Facebook page, which I'll reel off at the end.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a big, big, massive thing, but they just sort of did a bit of an introduction and sort of gushed at the size of the screen and things. I don't think, like they said that they hadn't, you know, had a premiere like on a screen as big as this, which kind of blows my mind,
right,
really, because I mean, Cineworld's great and all, but it is just a cinema. So
yeah, well, it's still pretty big though. But it's UK premiere, this one.
What does the blurb say on it? We're reading the out Fright Fest blurbs, by the
way. Okay, this everyone. Is, all from Fright Fest. Fright Fest's favourite Dreamweavers, Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, have conjured up their most personal film. A fusion of DIY science fiction, extreme character drama, dark comedy, pre-apocalyptic vibes and overwhelming paranoia. The visionary pair star as neighbours John and Levi, who witness supernatural events in the Los Angeles apartment building. Realizing documenting the paranormal could inject some fame and fortune into their wasted lives, they open up an ever deeper pitch black rabbit hole.
Yeah. That's a pretty good summary.
It is, actually. It's a good summary.
Yeah, it makes sense.
What are your thoughts of Something in the Dirt?
Okay, so I feel like I need to preface this. This is going to indicate my thought. That I genuinely think that Aaron and Moorhead are some of the best modern day directors. Like, they are so visionary. Their ideas are just insane, but they are so smart. I said to a guy in the loos afterwards, I said, I'd be equal parts excited and equal parts terrified to have a conversation with them over a pint, you know, just because the level of where these films go in terms of, like, you know, cosmic science and looking at things like time-space continuums. And one of their themes is time travel that they tend to have in most of their films.
Time loops and stuff like that.
Time loops and things. Yeah, exactly. And it's not just like time travel, like Back to the Future time travel, where it's kind of like loose science. But this stuff, like, you know, like watching Synchronic, like anyone who'd heard me talk about it in the summer series last year, like on Teapots, heard me sort of gush about how, like, if time travel were a thing, like, you could imagine that is how it would happen. Like, that is the thing, like, that is kind of how, because I think that they do base it in real theories, you know, like, you know, Hawkins theories and things. She says without knowing anything about that stuff, but like, but you know, it seems like if this very implausible thing, they make it seem plausible.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
And they do so on this, you know, quite often a low budget. They bring in really amazing actors, some well known, some not. And you know, I was so looking forward to watching this film, and the premise of it sounded very much, as I said, like going back to their roots. They've done some stuff with Marvel and things lately, and they've gone a little bit mainstream, but they seem to be kind of coming back and getting back to their sort of, you know, small budget, unknown actors. They themselves were in the films and, you know, doing what they kind of do. So I was really excited to see what they had to come up with. And this film just... It did a lot of what they do well. Really well acted. Amazingly shot. Oh my god, like, the direction in this film was fantastic. It was almost like, because obviously, as you said, the premise is these guys wanting to make a documentary about this supernatural, paranormal kind of activity, not the film but actual, and the way that it was shot was kind of like a documentary or like a found footage type thing, you know.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Without it being found footage. Oh, no, hang on, was it? Was it found footage? Shit, did they have a thing
no.
at the beginning?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, I was thinking of something else. But they do have sort of flashes where it does seem that someone is sort of making a retrospective documentary about them making a documentary. With like little sort of interview inserts and stuff. But like the majority of the film was kind of shot like a found footage, but without it being a found footage, which gave you this very kind of realistic vibe. And like, you know, you were sort of getting an inside scoop.
Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, the characters were weird. And this is the thing as well, Benson and Moorhead, they write characters that you do root for, but they are not always the best.
Well, they're not exactly... I liked Levi, but I didn't like John.
I went through phases of both. Like like one would be the kind of like, oh, I'm getting weird vibes. And then we would find out a bit more information. Like, oh, no, he's okay. But then the other one would be like, oh, no, now I don't like him. Like, I kind of went through that kind of thing. But all the way through, though, I was rooting for them. And I think that that's a really difficult sort of line to balance. You know, because I feel like often with movies, you either root for a character or you don't, or you love to hate them or you hate to love them kind of thing. You know, it's very kind of black and white, whereas their characters in all of their films, there's kind of these shades of grey where, like, you'll have these characters which are fundamentally good, but they will have huge character flaws. Or they just might make you feel a bit icky or, like, you know. And I think this is what's great about this film is things like that. You've got the amazing, you know, cinematography direction. You've got this really kind of cool idea. And the idea that they have is a really good one, but I just felt like there was these, a lot of different, they keep throwing around theories as to what this supernatural thing might be about. And that is what you would do in real life, but within the constructs of a film, you kind of need that to go somewhere. And I just didn't feel like it did.
It didn't go anywhere, really. Really? I mean we can't say what exactly happens at the end. But even that end, and it's a long film at 116 minutes.
It's
basically, the story just kind of slowly drags along, and it's more of, you know, the characterizations, how these two interact. But it was just so slow in getting there. But then when we're getting to the, you know, what's happening? What is going on? All these phantasmal things that are happening. And it doesn't actually materialise into anything, really.
Yeah, without going into detail, like, it's not a satisfactory ending to me. And I don't feel like you need to have everything tied up in a nice, neat bow to be a satisfactory ending. But this just, it really kind of just left me with a bit of a,
Whereas like Synchronic, it didn't tie everything up in a bow exactly, but it gave you a satisfying ending.
Yeah, it gave you enough that you could be like, you could hang your hat on it. Whereas I don't think this gave us anything to hang our hat on. And you're right, I think a lot of it was more to do with these two characters and finding out about them and seeing their relationship evolve. But like these characters weren't likable enough for us to care that much for the film to be focused that much on them, I don't feel. And I felt, as you said, like the pacing was quite slow as a result.
It's an interesting point that you made immediately as soon as we, you know, left the cinema. You sort of said it was a very self-indulgent film for Benson and Moorhead.
Yeah, and I get that this is a personal project. So, you know, this is something that, as I say, they've gone back to their roots. It's something that they were both heavily involved in. I mean, they were always heavily involved in their films, but I mean, it was both of them starred in it, didn't they? It was both of them, wasn't it? I get that.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can have a film like that without it being, it just, there was a guy in the loo, same guy who I mentioned before, and he said he felt like during COVID they got bored and just decided to make a film. And it kind of was like that. I mean, I said to you, it kind of felt like someone trying to make a Benson and Moorhead movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know?
I could see that.
So it was kind of disappointing sort of start, especially because I had such high hopes. And I think that was the general kind of vibe when people came out, was a bit like, a bit disappointed, a bit, it's a bit of an anticlimax.
I'm just looking at Letterboxd, just to kind of get an idea of what everyone else is saying.
Mm. Is everyone bumming it?
quickly, something in the dirt, blah, blah, blah. It's got 3.3.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair, because there's a lot that they do well in it.
Oh, it is. It is. It is well done. But just, however, I mean, I just think it just didn't. Yeah. It didn't connect the dots for me.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as something, you know, as directors, you cannot fault them. They are fantastic directors and they're fantastic actors, both of them. We've seen them turn up in lots of their own things. I think partly due to budget than anything. But, you know, I just don't know. I feel like there was just something lacking in the plot and the script here. I'm just on IMDb and it's got a 6.8.
Right, okay.
So again, it's very kind of middle of the ground. And I do feel like, if we look at like Synchronic, you know, it's probably the most famous just because of the cast, if nothing else. You know, Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan, for Christ's sake. Oh, okay, well, Synchronic had a 6.2. All right, I'll shut up with that then. well, okay, that was not the point that I was hoping to make. But I do feel like, yeah, middle of the ground is about right. And Letterboxd as well, I feel like, is for real film people. And I feel like a 3.3 is probably about right. Like, for me, what did I say I gave it? I gave it like a 6.5, 7? Shit, can't remember now. What did I say? 7?
I think, no, you said 6.5.
Did I? Yeah.
I gave it a 6.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like we said, it was well done. It was just a little bit, it just went on and then, conclusion wasn't satisfying.
Yeah, agreed. But obviously, you know, if you had a different, you know, when either if you've seen it, or you know, when you do see it, you know, if you've got a different opinion or if you've got any kind of opinion on it, let us know, like post on the page or message us and we'll read it out on air or whatever if you would like us to. You know, because I feel like a lot of people are gonna like this. I just feel like something compared to, you know, The Endless or Synchronic, I'm just like,
Go and smoke a spliff first, I think, maybe.
Oh, God, or don't. Jesus. I'll tell you what as well, though. If you
acid.
If you don't have a smoking habit before you watch this film, you sure as hell will when you get out.
Exactly.
All they do is smoke and drink. It's insane. It's a real prominent part of the film.
That was one of the things. It's like, Jesus, it almost like makes you want to smoke.
Yeah, so. I mean, I have recently, for various reasons, stress, have rekindled my my smoking habit. And don't worry, listeners, I do intend to quit again. But yeah, I was just like, well, fuck, if I wasn't already smoking, I definitely want one now. And you were like, shit, yeah, even I want a cigarette and you don't even smoke. So it's just, So if you are trying to kick the habit, don't watch this film because you won't do it.
agreed.
Cool. All right, then.
Okay.
Next one.
On to the film number two. This is a film called She Came From the Woods. And it's directed by Erik Blomquist. This was released this year and it's a world premiere. The blurb for this. In this ode to 80s horror, a group of counsellors accidentally unleash a decades-old evil on the last night of summer camp. As the mayhem and madness turn bloody, the staff of Camp Briarbrook is faced to confront what stories are worth telling and what secrets worth keeping. A coming-of-age horror movie rooted in themes of familial legacy. Familial legacy, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. The dangers of group thinking and the motives behind the stories we tell and the secrets we keep.
Familial as in like family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not seen that word being used like that.
Anyway. That again is a very good summary.
It's a polite way, it's a well-written way of...
yeah. I'm saying you've seen this movie a lot.
Yeah.
All right, well, I went first. Matt, you go first this time. What were your thoughts on She Came From the Woods?
What are my thoughts on She Came From the Woods? Okay, I thought it was all right. I think I scored it higher than your good self. I thought the setup was pretty decent. There was, it had some comedic elements which were really quite funny, and I thought, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to be in for a good comedy 80s gore fest.
Yeah.
You know, kind of similar to what's that one on Netflix?
Fear Street. Right.
Yes,
Fear Street Part 2.
Trilogy. Yeah. Had that kind of feel to it.
Yes.
But with this sort of comedy.
It had its own very own Stranger Things actress in it as well. Not the same
it
one,
did.
But another one.
Yeah.
It's got the mum in it.
I can't remember her name.
No, I don't know. It's the mum. not Winona Ryder, the blonde mum.
The blonde, the filth. Yeah, the filth. The milf.
The milf. Hey, don't be slandering the Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder's aged very well.
It started off really well. Some fairly decent gore involved. This witchy thing was started to go around picking off people in the camp.
Yeah.
The characters were fairly likable of sorts.
Or they were like so awful but it was kind of like you got a kick out of hating them.
But obviously, yeah, obvious horrible people,
yeah.
which I thought were quite amusing. That mullet guy, I thought he was quite amusing.
Yeah, channeling Keith Sutherland in Lost Boys with that hair.
But unfortunately, as this film went on, the story started to unravel a little bit for me, in a not so good way. The comedy elements kind of didn't land, or actually I don't think we're even there so much towards the end. The gore was quite good, but yeah, for me it started strong and finished pretty so really. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. As you say, it had a really strong start, a lot of funny jokes that landed well. You know, there were some use of slanderous words that I wasn't really comfortable with, as use of the F word, not fuck, the other F word that we don't like, which it's set in the 80s and stuff, but I'm like, yeah, but you're not filming in the 80s, and I really don't feel like that was necessary. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but for the most part, comedy landed, and yeah, as you say, great gore. It had this real kind of like, you know, round the fire camp type, you know, like they do this sort of like ritual which this guy doesn't think it actually works, and of course it does, and there's this whole, as you said in the summary, yeah. There's this whole legacy about this witch of the woods, and you know, and how that ties in with the camp, and you know, all of this, and like urban legend stuff and things, which is always fun. And as you say, yeah, characters are either really fucking awful and they're supposed to be, and you get a kick out of that, or they're really likable and relatable and shit. But then, yeah, as the kind of film went on, it kind of just lost its footing. The gore still remained pretty good, but it just kind of, the comedy, as you say, yeah, there wasn't so much comedy, which is fine. I feel like with a comedy horror, there has to be like a bit of a switch up where it starts to get more horror. But I felt like that when they did insert comedy, it was too much. It was over the top. It was stupid. It wasn't smart. It was just either obvious, or it was just, oh, come on, like eye rolling. And like, you know, there's this bit where this guy gets set on fire and this girl goes over to like try and revive him. And then even though he's got like his skin isn't even on himself, and he starts trying to grope her boob, and it's just like, oh,
really? Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, dude, like, be better than that. You know,
is that funny?
It's not even funny, it's just a bit cringe.
It was a bit pointless, really.
Yeah, it was just a bit cringe. And then, you know, they tried to insert some emotional bits, but by that point, the whole thing was so fucking ridiculous. It was just, you didn't care. You just didn't care by that point. And you have to care when you're going to have these emotional moments. You know, the audience has to have that to relate to. And by that point, I tapped out. You know, so it was annoying because it had such great premise. But honestly, I would watch Fear Street Part 2 any day over that, like any day.
Agreed.
That's how you do an homage to, you know, summer camp horror.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, failed.
I think a younger me would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah. It's
definitely.
I think it's definitely aimed for
you know, younger audiences. Sure, I think.
Yeah, this is a thing I think that bothered me about the comedy. As it went on, it became more and more infantile.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and not to be all snooty about it, but if anyone watches this film, you'll know what I mean, unless you are 15 and just think that, you know, half-dead people breaking boobs is funny, but... And if you're 15... Exactly. If you're 15,
I'm laughing.
Get that.
The younger me were like, hee hee, felt a boom, hilarious.
Yeah, and that's fine if you're 15, but I'm 34 and you're 47, so it's just, it just doesn't hit the mark in quite the same way.
Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, but it's like, it's an inoffensive film. Do you know what I mean? It's not harming anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have worse. I don't hate it. I'm just like, you've started off. You started off so well, you know.
And you just.
And just totally tip it out. Anyway,
did you know that it got 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Same as Something in the Dirt.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Two very different movies.
Wowza. Okay.
Yeah, but that's all the 15-year-olds going. Yeah. This is really funny. Some hilarious fucking shit.
So that's how 15-year-olds sound. So what would you give it out of 10?
I give it a 5.
You gave it a 5. Oh, yeah. I gave it a 6.
Yeah, a 5 for me is pretty low, isn't it?
5 from you is very low.
I gave Terrifier a 3. Let's just give it some.
Okay, well, put it this way. What would you rather watch?
I'd rather watch this.
What's what?
I'd rather watch this.
Oh, right. Oh, fuck you. Never mind.
At least the characters weren't as dumb.
Oh, come on. Let's not even go there.
Tee-hee. Yeah, you said you gave it a 6, did you?
I gave it a 6, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, something around that mark is about right, I feel.
Okie dokie. Let's move on to film number 3. This film is called Lola.
Lola. Yeah.
It's directed by Andrew Legg. And this was the English premiere. Mm. I shall read the blurb. England, 1941. Sisters Thomasina and Martha have created a machine that it can intercept broadcasts from the future. This delightful apparatus allows them to explore their inner punk a generation before the movement comes into existence. But with their World War II escalating... the sisters decide to use the machine as a weapon of intelligence with world-altering consequences.
Again, very good. I'll tell you what, Fright Fest wrote great blurbs.
Yeah, it's a good blurb. Okay, so alrighty. Let's hand over to you for this one.
So Lola was actually the one film that I was a bit about when it came to reading the blurb, just because war films are really not my thing. Like, unless there's like the odd one, like Saving Private Ryan or Hacksaw Ridge, I think they're like the only ones that I've seen where I've been like, oh my God, that was so good, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not. So when I saw, it's World War II in 1941, I was like, snore. and you know, but I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. If it's shit, we said as we're going in, oh, shit, we'll go. And it was only, it's only what, like 80 minutes long, 76 minutes? It's like not long at all. It's like...
It is 76 minutes long.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, nothing. So we went in and everything, and you were a bit apprehensive because it's black and white and you are a movie racist, so...
Wowza!
Oh, no, it's a coin that...
Movie racist!
I feel I should explain for anyone who doesn't know. That is a phrase coined by Scott and Liam because Scott also hates black and white movies, and there's a joke that it's like a... He's not... Matt is not really racist, promise. So it's kind of... You were a bit off-put by the fact it's black and white, they're not your faves, and I was put off by the fact that it's a war movie. So between us, we're a bit meh.
Mm, but, however, we heard positive vibes.
Yes, Boz in particular had messages saying, this is one you need to look out for, apparently. So we're like,
okay, let's do it.
Okay. And he was not wrong. This was probably my favourite movie of the day. There was another that comes in close, but I think this is one I came away overall most excited about. I don't want to go into it too much. And you know what I was actually just thinking? This feels more like a Benson and Moorhead movie than the Benson and Moorhead movie.
Ooh,
like for me. Like I just feel like
I could see that.
You've got the time element, you know, not time travel as such, but, you know, looking through time and the change in the course of events. You've got, I don't want to say too much and everything, but you've got, you know, two strong lead characters. You've got, you know, character arcs and fallings out and, you know, reconciliations and whatever else. You know, you've got a lot of the beats of a Benson and Moorhead movie. It's short, it's low budget. The editing on this is amazing. They insert...
We
talked about that for a while, actually. Like, because they insert real footage from the war into the stuff that they've shot, and it's almost fucking seamless, apart from a few kind of, like, overdubbings. But it's a low-budget movie, and it's, you know, it's a little indie movie and whatever, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, that's clearly not what that guy said from, like, you know, 80 years ago. The two leads were phenomenal. Really amazing actors. I thought they were both so good. I am so excited to see what else they do. If they don't become famous, I will want to know why the fuck not. Both gorgeous as well. Fuck me. They were fit. You know, but their characters were believable. They were tangible. They had an immense amount of depth. This is a tiny movie, and for like in terms of length, and for what they managed to pack in, is incredible. Only thing that we sort of said was like we weren't entirely sure why it was at Fright Fest, because it was not remotely a horror film.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, actually, Boz pulled us up on that, actually, because I put that we had a Fright Fest group and just to see who could hook up and et cetera. Mm. And I sort of said, because we did the live video, and we both sort of said we didn't think it should have been at Fright Fest, and he disagreed, saying that Fright Fest isn't just horror, it's, I suppose, like the dark umbrella as well.
And I get that,
and I appreciate his point.
And I'm certainly glad it was there, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have known much about it. I wouldn't have known about it otherwise.
I agree. I still think, I don't think it should have been at Fright Fest personally, but that's just my own personal view.
I agree with you. And I do feel like they do expand that umbrella out. You could argue that, you know, again, making this comparison, you could argue that Something in the Dirt isn't really horror, but there are definitely horror elements to it, especially nearer the end. And it is dealing with something a bit like more supernatural and less sci-fi, whereas this one seems just like a drama / sci-fi, as opposed to anything really horrific. And I don't want to just sort of like put horror down to it has to be gory or it has to be scary, but there has to be some sort of element of threat, I feel, and this didn't really have it. Not even within the trappings of war, it didn't have any real threat other than the consequences of their actions. And I don't want to say anything more than that, but if anyone watches it, you'll kind of know what I mean. But as I said, I'm glad that it was there, because I probably wouldn't have come across it otherwise, and I'm really glad it had that audience. And I really truly hope it gets picked up somewhere and people get a wider release, because I really would love people to see this and talk about it more.
I totally agree. I mean, I agree with all your points, really. Can't really say much more than that. I just hope that it gets out there for the general public to see. I enjoyed it as much as you did, I think. It was quite a nice surprise, because I was kind of went in thinking, oh shit, I'm not going to enjoy this at all. A, because it's black and white, and B, just the the blur beforehand. I thought this could be a bit shite, but it was a nice surprise.
What was your score on it?
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
You did.
For Lola, yeah.
I gave it an 8. So for how you and I score, we are probably about the same.
Yeah, agreed.
It was a strong 8 as well. If I see it anywhere, I will definitely watch it again. And the friend who I stayed with, I told her about it. She's not remotely a horror fan. She gets too scared, bless her. But she would find this infinitely interesting, and so I recommended that to her. Like, you know, I'm already telling people about it, go see it, because, it was really good.
Yeah, really agreed. It's got 3.5 on Letterboxd and 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's strong on IMDb for a film like this. Out of how many reviews?
How many reviews?
Or how many ratings?
46.
Hey, that's pretty strong.
That's pretty strong.
For a small pool like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and add my own score.
I'm doing it.
I'm doing it now.
Right now.
I'm doing it right now, live on air, motherfuckers. What?
Hang on, so that was Lola. On to our final film. We only saw four. This is a film called Dark Glasses. And this is directed by Dario motherfucking Argento, who is in the house.
In the hithers. And again, if you go on our Facebook and social media, like Instagram and shit, you'll see videos and photos and shit.
Yeah, you were looking, I think you were talking about somebody. I can hear you in the background going, something, Carrie McCowface or something. Carrie McCowface or something like that.
Well, I said that.
Yeah. It's just as we're kind of walking in and everyone gets pushed to the, we all got pushed out of the way. And I thought, I bet he's fucking coming. So I got my phone out. And so I was like, stick it on video just in case he comes around the corner. Bam! And he came around the corner and got him.
You got him.
Anyway.
And I was saying Carrie McCowface, excellent.
Carrie McCowface in the background. This is quite hilarious. Something like that.
Yeah, awesome.
Anyway, so this was the UK premiere. In Rome, a serial killer has garroted three high-class sex worker girls with cello strings, and upmarket escort Diana is next on the list. Pursuing her one night in a white van, that doesn't make sense, the maniac causes her car to crash, leaving her blind, and a young Chinese boy, Chin, in the other vehicle, an orphan. Together, they must face the incandescent wrath of the snubbed murderer who continues to relentlessly stalk them. Dario Argento returns to the extreme thriller he pioneered in the 1970s with The Bird and with The Crystal Plumage and Deep Red.
Swing.
Swingity swing.
Yeah, the Q&A after was really interesting, and he actually revealed that there is a new movie that he's going to be starting filming in Paris in spring. So that was an exclusive.
That's right, yeah.
So, you probably haven't heard it here, folks, because I think that's now news. but I heard it there first, folks. And, so that's really exciting. And he was just really, really nice. He just, he seemed to genuinely want to be there, and he seemed quite happy with, like, the crowd and, you know, seeing it. Because was this the world premiere, this one?
No, this is a UK premiere.
UK premiere, oh, okay.
I think because the crowd were just like, fucking hell, it's Dario Argento.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you could tell he was like, he was really digging it. He was like, oh, this is like, yeah, it's great to be here.
he seemed
really kind of chuffed.
Yeah, guys, it's me. It's your friend.
I think
it's definitely the right crowd for him to be at. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's going to get a reception like that anywhere, it's going to be a fucking fright fest in this. So.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the godfathers of horror. So, you know, it would be weird if he came out and we went, oh, fuck off, mate.
Boo!
Like, fucking old news. Where you been for the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
But no, obviously everyone was cheering and whooping and clapping and shit. And in fact, I think it got a standing ovation, didn't it? Like at the end, everyone kind of...
It did, yeah. Yeah, we did.
That, and did Lola get a... Or it didn't necessarily get a standing ovation, but Lola definitely got a clap afterwards.
It did.
Applauded. The other two did not, for the record.
No, they didn't. But for me, I think actually this is probably my favourite of the four.
Oh, yeah?
This obviously, because it was filmed by Dario Argento, had that real sort of throwback to 70s horror films, that whole vibe to it. It just had
the whole
that
giallo thing.
Yeah, the whole giallo thing. It just had the aesthetic and the just the vibe to it. The cinematography, how it was done, mm-hmm. how it was directed, mm-hmm. The score. it just had it. It had that. It really was a throwback to 70s film.
Yeah.
Which is very hard to capture, but he captured it, I think.
I mean, if anyone's gonna.
Well, of course, somebody who's been in the film for this amount of time.
Who did make me. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it's so rare that you find directors still working now who were working back then. And not only working, but prolific in their career. You know, this is 50, 60 years removed.
Mm. I mean, he's still going. He's 82.
It's crazy. Absolutely fucking crazy.
It is fucking crazy.
But, you know, so, you know, fuck. And, yeah, I mean, you explain what you felt about this film.
Yeah, so it had, yeah, it, the, well, let's talk about the acting. I thought the acting was good. It was believable. The main actress, Alenia Pastorelli.
You do a better job of this shit than I do.
Okay. I thought she did a great job. She was the female escort. Beautiful woman, and you could sort of believe her position as the story unfolded. I thought the little guy Chin. I don't know his name. The actor's name.
He was great.
I thought he was really good. I thought the acting all round was pretty decent. It had that giallo feel until, unfortunately, the killer was kind of revealed a bit earlier than I suspected. Did you feel that?
I can remember. I think for me, without going into it, obviously. This is a one episode where we won't spoil anything, just an FYI. She says on the last review. it wasn't really for me. Yeah, it was a bit like, oh, okay, we're finding out already. But it was kind of like, okay, we're finding out. And also, it's not like a, there's not like a big twist or anything. Like, you know, movies like, you know, Deep Red, fucking Bird with Crystal Plumage and shit, like it's kind of it didn't really have that punch for me, which is really like my only criticism of the film is like who the killer is and their motives, which you could argue is a big part of the film, but I think, to be honest, with this one it isn't really. I think there's a lot of other things going on that make it a very good film. It's just, it would have, I think, if the reveal of who it was and why had packed a bit more of a punch, this probably would have been my favourite film of the day.
Okay.
I don't want to say tarnished, that's too strong a word, but it just kind of like, meh, a bit for me. Okay. But as I say, it wasn't such a big deal that I went away going, well, that was a load of shit.
I would agree with you entirely with that. What else? Yeah, we can't really say much else about it, really, can we?
No, not really, because it's, you know, it's a mystery, and I don't want to, you know, reveal. We don't want
to unravel the mystery.
It was very well shot. It very much felt, you know, like the killer has leather gloves. It's all very hush hush, and you never see his face or her face, and you never, you know, you have this very beautiful woman, loads of boobs, loads of like
great boobs.
Not really sex. It's implied. Heavily implied, you know, there's a lot of nudity and everything's very stylized, everything's very glamorous. You know, these prostitutes aren't, you know, what you find down Soho on, like, you know, Tuesday night. This is like proper escorts. And,
I don't know.
Well, you know what?
I'm joking.
Not all of us have been to the banana bar. throwback to two episodes ago, for people who don't know. I definitely kind of felt like I was in safe hands with this. I felt that, you know, because I've over the last few years, I've become quite familiar with giallo, and I've really come to love it as a subgenre. And I was just like, it was like nestling back into old slippers, you know, after the summer.
Yes.
Just like, oh, there it is. Yeah, I know what I'm getting here. You know, it's kind of like, it was very much comfort food, but not in a way that diminished from the quality. It's just, you know, it's Argento and it's giallo. I mean, how the fuck can you really go wrong?
Yeah,
apart from the ending being a little bit lackluster. But you know, so out with that. Yeah, it was a really great film, and it had everything that you kind of come to expect from a film like this. And there was an interesting element as well added into it. I won't say what, but like something happens to the main character, which is something that we haven't seen really, in at least to my knowledge. I haven't really come across anything like this in Giallo. Come across it in other films. And there's a film that I mentioned to you, which I won't say because if anyone knows that film, it will ruin what happens in this film. But there's a Spanish film that has something kind of... I think this would make quite a good double bill with it. But it was interesting. It definitely had enough stuff that was different for it to, you know, keep you on your toes. But it was comforting as well because it did have a lot of the things you come to love and expect.
Yeah, can't say much more than that, really.
What was your score for it?
My score, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Nice. And I think I gave it a 7.5, but I might up it to an 8. I don't know. Maybe, can I go 7 and 3 quarters?
You can do whatever you like.
I gave Lola an 8, and I did really like Dark Glasses, but I didn't like it quite as much as Lola. So maybe, maybe I'll go 7.5, but yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That was it.
That's it. Just four films. Just four films.
Next year I will do better. I think as well, because I had a banging headache as well, and I think I was day drinking. It was hot. I'm not very good with day drinking. It always seems like a great idea at the time, and then I'm like, oh no.
Oh really?
I can't do day drinking as much. It's like, well, I'm missing. Yeah. And
so me suggesting doing more shots.
Doing shots. Yeah. We're doing. I did tequila. You guys were doing Sambuca. Ugh.
Yeah.
Only because I'm allergic to aniseed is why I'm making that noise. It's not nice. I really fucking love Sambuca. So we were doing shots and I was on double gins and it was 10 a.m. and we were, you know, drinking pints.
Yeah, we were drinking pints.
But no, it was a really good day, and unfortunately we didn't run into anybody. I think everyone was kind of just, you know, ships by the night kind of thing. But we had some cool photos and the staff were great and everyone just seemed to be having fun. And it was so fucking cool to see Benson and Moorhead and Argento in the flesh, you know, that was... And we saw some of the other directors, but obviously, you know, they were not to be snobby. I don't mean it snobby-ish at all, but they weren't well-known.
No.
You know, you and I have been following these other directors' careers for a little while now, and it was so exciting to see them.
You should see them in the flesh.
In the flesh, yeah. But obviously, you know, we're sort of like half and half, two good films, two not so good films, at least not as what we were expecting. And there was no bad films, though. There were no bad films.
There's nothing utterly shit.
No. There wasn't anything where the whole way through I was like, oh, God, please end.
Please, gotta get out. I mean, actually, yeah. my mate Rob left halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
Something in the dirt. He was like, right, I gotta go. he's gone to the pub. Okay.
Yeah. You're like, where's he gone? I was like, oh, he's tapped out. But we didn't. We were there and stuff. And like, you know, and as I say, there was nothing that was really fucking awful at all. Like, they were all... at least all right. My least favourite, as you can tell from the scoring, was She Came From The Woods. And although I didn't love Something In The Dirt, as I said, there was plenty to love about it. I wish it had been a bit more concise. I know. Kettle corn the pot black or whatever it is. But I kind of just expected a bit more. But great film. People should still go see it and make your own opinions on it. Tell us what you think.
Yeah. No, please do. Please interact with us.
Oh my God,
come on, ask us a question. Ask us a question.
Please be our friends.
I just want to interact with you. Don't understand.
You just don't understand me.
Don't understand.
You don't understand my struggles. Anyway. If you want to sort of let us know your thoughts and stuff, if you were there or if you, you know, have seen it in other means or see it in the future, let us know. It'd be interesting to get what other people thought on it. And that's it basically, isn't it?
That's it.
Cool.
And that is a wrap.
Yeah, so I'm gonna run through where to find us on social media and whatnot. So we've got a Facebook page that is www.facebook.com/groups/ednismpod, and then we've got an Instagram page, sorry, which is @ednism_podcast. So if you want to check out any of the videos or footage of footage of what me and Matt took at the weekend, crack on, interact, give us a like, give us a follow, and otherwise you can email us at with anything else with at what is it e wait fuck e it's e d spotless minds isn't it
yeah that's all one.
Thanks at gmail.com edspotlessminds@gmail.com. And as usual, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Anywhere you're listening now, just click like and subscribe. Do you likes and stuff, or you just subscribe, don't you? Fucking hell, I've watched far
you
too
do.
Much. I've watched and far too much influencer horror lately.
And if you feel that way inclined, give us a review. That'd be lovely.
That would be nice.
Even if you think we're a pair of cunts, just give us a review.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe if you do think we're a pair of cunts, tell us in private and don't, like, fuck up our ratings. Our one rating, two ratings.
I don't think it'd matter. Any review is a good review.
Yeah, any publicity is good publicity. But pop us a review. That'd be nice. And interact on our page. And, yeah, thank you so much as well to our sort of recent followers and recent group. Facebook group joiners and things, and people have been interacting and whatnot. We do appreciate you, and I hope you enjoy the show. We will be back next week with a new regularly scheduled episode. We are gonna be getting properly. I know we said that the last like, few episodes, but unfortunately my life has taken some turmoil lately and unexpectedly, but we will be back on track.
Damn right. Alrighty,
we'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Peace out. Yeah.